TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. If you're a golf lover, join in on fun discussions about golf. From the perspective of two plugged-in Minnesota golf geeks, Brad Cole and David Branstad, this is 10,000 Swings.
Welcome to 10,000 Swings. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branstad.
It's late January here in Minnesota, and we're talking about golf. Gotta love it. We had quite a couple of fun weeks already on the PGA Tour, and we're going to get right into it. Yesterday, Andrew Landry, seven of his last eight tournaments, did not make the cut, goes out to the American Express Championship in its first year in Palm Springs, wins the tournament. David, what'd you think?
So, first of all, what an amazing victory for him. Not to mention, we can tie this into some Pete Dye stuff here too, but to shoot what he did at the stadium course of PGA West is amazing. Brad, I don't know if you've played there, but that golf course is impossible to me.
It's impressive. So it's kind of an interesting tournament. They play three different courses, make a cut after three rounds, and then they go and play the final round. And Landry just absolutely tore it apart. Very fun to see. The week before that, we had a pretty fun event that ended up in a playoff at the Sony Open, first full field event of the year. And then the week before that, we had the Tournament of Champions, also in a playoff. So some exciting stuff happening on tour. And now we have the senior playing this week, and Ernie Els makes his debut, comes out.
How good was that?
So Ernie Els, first event on the Champions Tour, goes out and shoots 72, even par. People are ruling him out. Goes and shoots 65 the next 2 days to get into a playoff. Eventually loses to the mechanic.
So good.
Also with Fred Couples in that playoff. But pretty fun to see the Big Easy playing so well on the Champions Tour. And later in the year, we have Phil Mickelson turning 50. And making his Champions Tour debut, although he has said, I will not be playing on the Champions Tour because I'm still hitting bombs. What did you think about that, David? And what did you think about the way Phil played this week in the Palm Springs? What are your thoughts?
So first of all, I love it. I compare Phil, and this is a bold comparison here. Tom Brady. He's 40 what and still playing at a high level? Let's do it. If you're hitting bombs, you're playing well, go play.
That's a very bold take for a very cold January morning in Minnesota, but I love it. Phil Mickelson to Tom Brady. And it's amazing you say that. And I'm going to we're going to go right into it regarding Patrick Reed. So I made a comparison this morning, and I said, very bold statement, Patrick Reed is the modern day Christian Laettner.
Thoughts? You did, and you love Christian Laettner.
My point is, Patrick Reed has got everyone in the golf world talking about him. So, most recently, Patrick Reed has gone out and won another singles match at the President's Cup and went to the Tournament of Champions and lost in a playoff, but playing some really good golf, top 10 player in the world. But he keeps getting different things that keep popping up. When he was, for those of you that are not familiar with the situation, Patrick Reed was playing college golf at a very high level. Was dismissed from one team. There were some allegations. Went to another team. Has been on tour now for 8 years, 9 years, and has become a top 10 player in the world. Has been essentially Captain America is what his nickname is.
Captain America.
He does extremely good things in the Ryder Cup and President's Cup events, but he's always got something more to it just seems like he's always kind of playing the villain role. Plenty of people dislike him. Plenty of people like him. It's fascinating.
But he thrives off of that. He thrives off of people not liking him, which I actually respect in a roundabout way.
So a few years ago, he wins the Masters. 2 years ago, he wins the Masters.
Something like that.
And this year at Tiger's event in the Bahamas, about a month ago or so, he is taking the club back. And when he takes the club back, it appears on my TV screen, it appeared that he hit sand. As he was bringing the club back. Is that what you saw on your TV screen, David?
He hit sand.
So he hit sand, and afterwards they assessed him. He was in the lead at the time, or one stroke back. He was right there. They assessed him a two-stroke penalty for breaking that rule. And he took the two-stroke penalty, and then when he addressed the press, he said, hey, I didn't do that. It was just the camera angle, which I think a lot of people, we've all made mistakes on the golf course, and I think that a lot of people are totally fine with, hey, you know what, it happens. But when he said that, you have people like Brandel Chamblee that have come out and said he's a cheater, He's a cheater, which is, you know, especially with what's going on in sports right now, with everything happening in baseball and all these different cheating allegations and what's happened with the Patriots. You name it.
I mean, we could spend 3 days talking about cheating in sports.
Right. But that being said, cheating has been called.
Yep.
And there's been, I believe there was a letter that came from Reed's lawyer to Chamblee's desk. There's been a lot of different things said. I guess my point is someone calls you out for cheating. There's all these different things being said. And how does Patrick Reed bounce back from that? He goes and shoots 66 the next day.
Yeah.
You got to give the guy props. He's over in Australia the following week for the President's Cup, and he loses all three of his doubles matches, but he goes out and wins the singles match on Sunday, which was huge for Team USA. In addition, his brother-in-law, his caddy, gets into it with a fan and gets removed from the event. And he still forges on. I'm so impressed with his ability to take whatever comes from him and all these different, or comes from the crowd, and just fights on. He goes to the Tournament of Champions. He's in the playoff. After he hits his putt, someone yells out cheater. They yell out cheater, and he continues on. It's truly amazing to me how well he embraces the role of the villain, if you will. And it reminds me so much, growing up a huge Hoops fan, of Christian Laettner.
You know, you can kind of say what you want about Patrick Reed, but here's what impresses me the most. You're exactly right. He's playing the villain role right now. He thrives off of it. He almost has this attitude like, I just don't care, which I kind of love. Kepka's kind of got a little bit of that attitude. And when he gets into singles matches, it's like, I'm going to step up on the first tee, and he looks at his, and I love, this is the best part of my high school life is what I kind of thought. He steps up on that first tee box, and he goes, I'm going to beat you by 10 today. And he just knows it because he's ticked.
Right.
Put him in a doubles. Put him in something like that. It's like, okay, I'm going to go play as hard as I can, but I don't have that same edge that I do when I play singles. And he's Captain America for a reason.
It's amazing. And sometimes when you tell someone you're going to beat them by 10, or they're more beatable than ever, that doesn't work out very well for you, right, Stephen Ames?
Right.
But it's incredible what he does and how he's able to just handle it and just go. Very impressive. And again, I just thoroughly love having that storyline.
I love it personally. Like, I think the golfing world's going to be completely split on this, with you either love Patrick Reed or you hate Patrick Reed. I will say this. At the 3M Open last year, he was one of the nicest guys out there. I mean, he talked with everyone. He did his thing. There wasn't the prick type thing that he might be associated with. I don't know. The world's going to be split on this one.
So now that we've been talking about the President's Cup, let's talk a little bit about what happened. Tiger Woods comes out as captain, as playing captain, and just crushes it. Absolutely crushes it. And let's face it, the U.S. team was probably not fully adjusted to everything that was going on, whether it be time zone, course, et cetera, maybe till midday Saturday?
Probably.
Or the third round? You know, you could tell going into the singles that all of a sudden they were fully caught up. And remember, these guys were playing the week before in the Bahamas. There's a lot going on, a lot of adjustment. But one of the most impressive comebacks I've seen, and it really sets the tone for 2020, Tiger Woods goes out, crushes it as a captain, crushes it as a player. Where do we see the future of Tiger Woods as a player in these types of events and a captain as far as President's Cup and Ryder Cup goes? What is your take?
Let me ask you this. Where do you rank how he played in the President's Cup to where Tiger is? Is that some of the best golf he's played?
Yes.
I mean, you look at the Masters last year. You look at the President's Cup this year. I think there is... What we've lost over the last decade is the Tiger effect. When Tiger would rise up on that leaderboard and people would see it and they'd get scared, they'd get worried, like, crap, Tiger's coming. I think we're back to that. Like, I don't think it was Justin Thomas was his partner in Rome. I don't think Thomas really knew what he was getting into. And he's like, I know he's his partner, but he's like, holy cow. This is Tiger again.
Right. And let's not forget what he did the month before that event. He's been playing some really good golf around the world. That being said, where do you see him going forward for Ryder Cup and President's Cup? Do you just let him be the captain going forward, you just say, you know what, Tiger? You are a playing captain until we take that away from you. Do you go there?
You want the most biased answer on the planet? I love Tiger. So, yes. I mean, he's Tiger Woods. This is the, in my opinion, I know Jack's got his record of majors. This is the best golfer, the best player to ever play the game. Let him do his thing. And he's proven he can be captain and he can be player and he can do it at the highest level possible. Let him do it. Let him pick who he wants to play with, too.
I believe if you just look at the numbers alone, just the numbers alone of when he tees it up, how many people do you know that turn on Golf Channel at 11 p.m. at night because they know Tiger's teeing it up overseas somewhere?
I tell you what, I'd have to see the numbers on that, but I'll tell you what, I'm one of them.
It's must-see TV every time he's involved in golf. And just like we said, Patrick Reed is good for golf. Tiger Woods is so good for golf and so good for getting people interested that might not otherwise be interested. It's fantastic. So my bold take going forward is that he needs to be the captain. I know they've already picked some captains for future events. He needs to be the playing captain until he can't do it any longer because it's exciting.
It is exciting. And you know what? It's capturing a new audience of golf. My 9-year-old now thinks Tiger Woods is the greatest player on the planet. 2 years ago? No. Tiger was not the greatest player on the planet for him. It was Spieth. It was Fowler. It was whoever.
My wife is not a huge golf fan. Yeah. She likes it. It's fine. There are two tournaments for her.
Your wife's not a huge golf. How did you two get along?
Well, she's got her volleyball thing. I've got my golf thing. But that being said, there are two tournaments. Tournaments that have Tiger and tournaments that don't have Tiger.
Right.
And in the last couple of years, she has just been grinning because she really enjoys watching what he's done for this game. So next bold take. Tiger Woods wins the 2020 Masters. Is that bold or is it, at this point, he's probably what, 8-1? 9-1?
You know what?
He's better than 10-1, so maybe it's not that bold of a take, but I think he's not only going to win the Masters again this year, I think he's going to win multiple tour events. And that being said, we are leading into Torrey Pines this week, the Farmers Open. Is there anyone you'd rather have in the field this week over Tiger?
No. I just looked it up. Tiger was a 16-1.
16-1.
16-1 to win the Masters this year. Rory 7-1, DJ 10-1, Justin Rose 14-1.
Wow.
I'm actually a little shocked by that.
So those three guys who have never won a Masters are all favored ahead of him after what we saw. Okay. Folks, you heard it here first. If 16-1, that is a very good chance. We like that one. I really like his chances. And again, last year we saw it. There were all sorts of great players right there.
Mm-hmm.
You had Molinari. You had DJ. You had Brooks. They're all right there.
Well, if you look at Sunday at the Masters last year, Tiger flat out outsmarted Molinari. That's all it was. Molinari, he choked a little, but Woods just outsmarted him by playing that golf course the way he knows how to play that golf course. So how Tiger's not the favorite to win this?
Yeah.
Kind of blows my mind.
That's some good insight going into the 2020 Masters. I would be all over Tiger. It just seems like he is the guy to beat right now. That being said, though, back to the Farmers. We've got him in the field this week. Anyone else you like besides Tiger, or is Tiger your guy? I really like Tony Finau at this event. Tony's played well there. Other guys?
Love Finau, but I got to go with Tiger. He's owned Torrey.
So for you golf geeks out there like us, Monday nights, there's a guy named Rob Bolton that works for the PGA Tour, comes out Monday nights with his power rankings for the week. And it's really fun if you're into any sort of fantasy golf or anything like that to check out the power rankings each week. But check that out later in the day. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on PGAtour.com. He actually ranks each player each week, and it's always fascinating to see his predictions and then the results. But I'm guessing you will find Tiger Woods at the top of that list. So we have Tiger back in action. Pretty exciting stuff. Now, overseas this week in the European Tour, we had a pretty cool win for Lee Westwood. Where do you think Lee Westwood's at in his career? Because it seems like he's kind of gone in and out, wouldn't you say?
You know what? Lee Westwood's been an interesting case study. You know, he ditched his swing coach for a super long time and just did it on his own. And I kind of appreciated that a little bit, ironic to my career. He did it his own way. And I like that. I like the way he plays golf. He's good for him. I mean, good for Lee Westwood. I've always enjoyed watching him play golf over the years.
So we're looking at the official world golf rankings, and obviously Lee Westwood pops up after this last week. We had Brooks Koepka was out for, what, 2 months?
That sounds about right.
And now Brooks is back. He played last week in Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
He made the cut, didn't play his best.
Fine.
Came out first round with 6 under and then kind of hung around. I think he shot 3 under the final round, so I think he finished top 30. He played decent. And we're looking at going into 2020, Brooks Koepka is still your number one player in the world. David, if it's the end of 2020, who in your mind will be number one in the world rankings?
Brooks Koepka. I know you're in disagree with me on this one. I still think it's going to be Brooks. However, Tiger's got a legit chance at this. And so does Rory.
Wow. Wow. Just take a second to let that soak in, folks. He's saying Brooks will still be number one, but he thinks that Rory and Tiger will make a push. So if we're going to look at actual facts right now, Brooks has not a huge lead over Rory. And then it's John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods, Patrick Cantlay. That's the top seven right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you're saying, is that you think that Tiger, Rory will make a push. You know, Rory doesn't seem like that much of a surprise because he's in second.
Yep.
But this Rory-Brooks battle, where do you think this is at right now? And what do you expect from Rory this year?
I think Rory's going to kill it this year, if you want my honest opinion. Rory's in a spot where this Koepka-Rory thing, and you and I have talked about this privately before, like, there's a rivalry there. There's something, whether people want to admit it or not, but they have some angst against each other. And I think it's enough to fuel Rory to actually put a push against Koepka. However, I think Koepka's in a spot where he's like, screw it. I don't care. I'm just going to play my game. I'm going to do what I do. And he's going to go out there and he's going to win the events he cares about. And that's it.
So that being said, regarding Brooks, Brooks came out and said, how is there any sort of a feud or a battle or anything between myself and Rory? Since I've been out here, I've won 4 majors. How many has he won? That's what Brooks said, and it's pretty fascinating. So that also being said, Brooks was in the news this week. The ESPN body issue came out last year, featuring Brooks Koepka. I don't know how many times there's been golfers in the ESPN body issue, but pretty awesome stuff. Has Gary Player been in that before, possibly?
You know what? I don't know that, but with his physical stats, that wouldn't shock me.
So Brooks comes out, and he's in the magazine. Bryson DeChambeau says, and I quote, or tweeted, or no, he said it on a show. Abu Dhabi before the event. He goes, Brooks didn't even look like he had a six-pack.
Right, but did you see the tweet back to DeChambeau?
And Brooks responds with all 4 of his majors with the medals around them and said, you're right, I'm too short of a six-pack.
It's priceless. That is why I love Koepka.
Brooks is not going to turn down any battle.
No.
And that's what makes, again, we have all these cool storylines going into the 2020 season here, with whether it's Patrick Reed, Brooks, Rory, Bryson throwing shots. And again, you know, Bryson's 17th in the world, hasn't won a major. So when Brooks, the number one player in the world, shows him his 4 majors, it's funny. I was kind of waiting for Tiger to chime in with all of his majors, and then maybe Jack as well. But that leads us to the next thing I want to talk about, golf Twitter. A lot of different ways you can go with this, but if you follow golf and you enjoy golf, it's probably why you're listening to this show, go get a Twitter account and follow everything golf-related. If you're watching a golf tournament on the weekend and you're not following along on Twitter, you are missing out. There are some great follows, whether it's Jason Sobel, you name it. A handful of guys do a wonderful job. No Laying Up does a great job. Club Pro guys, always good coming out of left field.
Right.
Who's your favorite person to follow regarding golf Twitter?
It's hands down Club Pro guy. I mean, it's just the shots he takes and the things he's able to get away with are absolutely amazing. But to be honest, I think if you're a golf fan, just follow Twitter for the experience and for the knowledge, for the info, because you can get, first of all, it's faster than any news outlet out there. And if you want to know what's going on, it's on Twitter. Not to mention, I actually love the banter between tour pros on Twitter. Like, we just take an example of the Koepka DeChambeau thing. It's a Twitter banter. I love it.
Some other good ones I saw recently, Justin Rose posted his invitation that he had received to the Masters. And Phil wrote back and said, try winning 1, 2, or 3 of these, and you get this every year. And,
I didn't
see
that
Phil
one.
recently joined the social media world about a year ago, and Phil has absolutely killed it on social media. He's done some great fireside Phil chats. It's been a lot of fun. So there's some good stuff out there on Twitter. If you like golf and you like Twitter, there's some good things. There are some negatives, and I will say that a week ago, Ryan Palmer was in the hunt, and so this is at the Sony Open. He's in the hunt. He hits a shot out of bounds, and he doesn't know it's out of bounds at the time, or out of play, or lost spot, whatever it ended up being. He didn't hit a provisional. He had to come back, hit it again, the whole walk of shame. We've all had to do it.
I love the walk of shame.
I hate it. It's not fun, but it happened. He went out afterwards on Twitter and said, hey, he hit the shot and people said maybe he should have tried to lay up. He tried to do it. It didn't work out for him. And he went to Twitter and said, hey, I would never do anything different. This is the way I play. And someone on Twitter called him out for trying to ice the leaders in the group behind him by making a 15-minute stall.
That's right.
And then they called him a cheater, and then they threw in a Patrick Reed reference. Again, like, it's crazy. People take it to a whole nother level sometimes. It's fascinating, though. And Golf Digest actually did an article about maybe no tour pro should be on Twitter, unless if your skin is really thick, which obviously we're seeing from Brooks Koepka. He can take it. But, you know, if you put yourself out there, it's really crazy all the things that can happen.
You know, Brooks can take it from what we can see. We don't know what's actually behind the scenes on this. I mean,
it's a great point.
Golf is an interesting place, you know. We're coming from the sport where you used to be able to call in from at home to call penalties on people. I mean, that's gone, but how does that go over? I mean, it's just an interesting space in sports because it's unlike anything we've ever seen. And if you go back to, like, you know, Phil, just on social media, Phil was also just ranked the number one personality in golf. We're starting to get more of every other sport has the personalities. Golf is finally kind of, in my world, catching up to here's who's attainable. Here's who's fun to watch. Here's who's fun to listen to. And it's a different sport because of that. I mean, you look up like the Zurich walk-up music. It's finally becoming a sport to the masses where it used to just be, okay, you're white collar, we just go sit and watch golf on Sundays. Finally not becoming that anymore.
So speaking of walk-up music, I feel like you learn a lot about a person when you hear their walk-up song. So David Branstad, you're on the first tee. What is your walk-up song?
Sister Christian.
Wow.
Hands down.
Very nice. I will go with AC/DC Thunderstruck.
Of course you would.
My 16-month son, that is one of two songs he knows right now.
My 5-year-old still sings Thunder. Thunder.
Yep, that is a go-to. His other one is, which would probably also be an option for me as a walk-up song, is All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled. We're driving in the car the other day during the song is playing, and I kid you not, my 16-month-old just started saying up, down, up, down, up, down. Which is a great part of All I Do Is Win.
Here, I don't know if I should even share in this story, but my kids, big Gopher football fan, good season, end of games, it's All I Do Is Win, it's hands up, and they're up, and then, of course, the only thing they can remember is how strippers' booties go from that song.
And that's an interesting part, depending on what, you know, if you want to go this route, how do you download music for your children? What gets cut out? How do you do it? Do you let them listen to everything? That's a whole nother conversation.
Whole different.
You're on the first tee. That's your song. Now, if you're on the range and you get 20 minutes before the round starts, you've got 20 minutes. Someone's going to give you some AirPods, some Beats, whatever. What song are you listening to as you get ready on the range? What are your 20 minutes? So what are your 5 or 6 songs? What would be on your playlist?
You know what my whole playlist would probably be, and I have it on my phone. It's gonna go a couple of different ways. I go Brian Vander Ark, Freshman, Verve Pipe, or I'm going Outkast.
Outkast.
I'm going straight Stankonia album. I mean, I love it. It depends on the mood I'm in for the day. Outkast is gonna be the ones to get me more pumped up to go actually play some real golf. I go the other way with Vander Ark And I'm just going to be in that mellow mode of let's stay low key. Let's just do this.
Oh, that's fascinating. That really is. So really enjoyed everyone listening in for the first half here. We're actually going to be taking a quick commercial break and we'll be back. But when we come back, we wanted to visit the list of who are the best personalities on tour. And we will talk back with you shortly. Welcome back to 10,000 Swings. We were just talking about what's happening locally in Minnesota, and there's some cool things that are taking place. PXG, Parsons Extreme Golf, is actually opening a 7,000-square-foot retail space just north of Southdale in the Edina Richfield area there. So that should be really cool. It's opening in a couple weeks, early February. And then right after that, we've got the Minnesota Golf Show that we will actually be at live. So if you are a fan of our show, please come down and meet us at the Minnesota Golf Show in mid-February. Very excited for that. But some of the things I would love to talk about, where do you practice in Minnesota in 2020? It's January 20th. We've probably got 3 months or more until the golf season happens. Where are you practicing? Growing up in the 90s, Brooklyn Park Golf Dome was one option for me. The Spring Lake Park Golf Dome. They had a place in Rogers right off of 101 that was open for a couple years. David, what were your spots growing up, and what are your spots now to practice golf?
You know, my spot growing up was always Long Lake Golf Dome, and I think it deflated twice growing up. Golf domes, though, are unfortunately, they're a thing of the past in my world. If you are not, and especially if you're a high school golfer, this has always been my contention, if you come to golf season in high school in April, May, whenever you start, and that's the first time you hit golf balls, you're 2 months behind. So if you aren't starting now, you're going to be behind the game. You've got to find a good simulator site. You've got to find something. Was it X Golf? That's now starting to pop up all over. Sounds like some great ideas. Country clubs around the Twin Cities, if you don't have a simulator, you're behind. I mean,
it is amazing how many places do have some sort of simulator, some sort of different option. One of the things I've been privy to recently, I believe you had talked about as well, is it Shot Tracer or Shot Track?
Yeah, Shot Track. Yeah, at Braemar?
Yes.
Yes.
And they have essentially what they're doing at Braemar is they're taking the technology that's used at Top Golf, and they've got new stalls there that are using that. So some pretty cool options there. And there are options. Plenty of people are building their own in-home simulators, or you know, using the different technology on an iPad and just hitting into a net.
I'll tell you what, if you want to be cost effective, SkyTrack from SkyCaddy, I think $1,200, you can set up the most valued indoor simulator you can get, and put up a net, and you get all the data you need. Is it the most accurate in the world? It's not a track, man. But can you get what you need? Yes, you can. It gives you some results. I don't think the distances are great, but I think the accuracy of left, right, side, spin, whatnot is pretty good. I think bang for your buck, set that up. I mean, all in, $1,500.
What are your thoughts on Top Golf?
Top Golf's amazing.
It's a pretty cool place. You know, what I love about Top Golf is you can get a variety of different shots in for the night. You're hitting different shots, different angles. You're getting rewarded. You're getting instant feedback and rewarded on those shots. But you're also getting good quality food. You're getting some beverages. it's a place you could take the significant other. You could bring kids. Very cool place. Just having all these different options in Minnesota, so fantastic. In the North Loop, I actually was a guest last week. The 3M Open, our PGA Tour event here, had some people out for an event, and we went to the Timberwolves game. Beforehand, we went to 3Jack. And if you haven't been to 3Jack yet, go check it out. It's in the North Loop, right off of Washington there, right by Freehouse. And they've got all sorts of simulators.
It's right across the street from Freehouse, right?
Yeah, right next to it there. And I'm very, very impressed with what 3Jack's doing. There's all sorts of places popping up. It really is. There's no reason for you not going out and practicing this winter. There are so many opportunities.
Okay, I'm going to think bigger picture here. It's not just practicing. Here's the cool thing about what 3Jack's doing. Here's the cool thing about what Top Golf is doing. You're introducing a different brand of golfers. What's Top Golf? It's not a driving range. It's a nightclub with golf. So you get a group that I can take my wife, I can take my two kids. We have a blast for an hour. We have some cocktails. We have some food. It's fun. So I think for the growth of the game, all of this stuff when it comes to simulators, when it comes to, you know, three, Jeff, when it comes to these environments that welcome eat, drink, golf, it's amazing. It's going to do nothing but benefit the game of golf.
Grow the golf, grow the game grow any the way game. We can. It's a obviously very important to both of us to just get people playing golf, and it's part of why we're doing this show. We just want people to play golf. And someone asked me, you know, what is the reason for the name 10,000 Swings? 10,000 Swings originally came about, we were talking about Land of 10,000 Lakes. How about the Land of 10,000 Swings? We've now kind of abbreviated it with 10,000 Swings. But the reality is there's a lot of people that play golf in this state. There's a lot of different ways to swing the club, and we want to appeal to everyone. So that's really something that our focus is, that, you know, to have a show that's really dedicated to talking both about the tour and talking about local Minnesota golf and what's happening. Obviously, we'll talk more about Minnesota golf when there is more Minnesota golf, but January is kind of a slow time of the year. So back to before the break, we had talked about the best personalities on tour. And Randall Mell did the, for the Golf Channel, did the unofficial World Golf Personality Ranking Top 10. I'm going to run through these, and I want to hear, David, what your thoughts are on who you want to be in your foursome. So number one, personality in golf, Phil Mickelson. Number two, Rory McIlroy. Number three, Graham McDowell. Number four, Jordan Spieth. Number five, Brooks Koepka. Number six, Bubba Watson. Number seven, Ian Poulter. Number eight, Bryson DeChambeau. Number nine, Eddie Pepperell. And number 10, Henrik Stenson. So from that list, David, it's yourself and three guys. You're going to play golf. These are said to be the best personalities in golf. Who do you want to be in that group? And then where do you want to take that group and play?
I have to pick from that list?
Yep, that's your list.
Oh, boy. I pick Spieth, Koepka, McDowell.
Spieth, Koepka, McDowell, and because you're picking McDowell, does that mean you want this to be a round overseas, or where are you going to go down to Florida with them, or where are you going to go with GMAC?
You know what? We're going to go with GMAC overseas. We're going to play somewhere cool. If you let me, I pick off this list, to be honest, of the people that I want to play with, and it's almost hands down. Darren Clark, Miguel Jimenez. That's my threesome. I want to play with those two, and I'll play wherever. We're going to drive fast cars, we're going to smoke cigars, and we're going to drink some whiskey.
Wow. Clearly, probably overseas as well, right?
Overseas. It's not going to be here.
Fascinating.
Yeah. America golf is great, but I need to experience something over there. How about you?
If I could pick a foursome, including myself and three tour players, I know this isn't very unique or creative, but Tiger Woods, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, but Tiger wasn't on that list.
I'm just saying, if I could pick anyone off the list, go off the grid here.
All right, we're going off the grid.
But from that list, if it's a twosome, it's myself and Rory. If it's a threesome, it's myself, Rory, and Brooks. And foursome, I would love to have Phil be the fourth, just to see the interaction of Phil, Rory, Brooks. It just feels kind of a, you know, I think Rory and all of them could just have a lot of great conversation, and I think there'll always be some side wagering, which I enjoy, and
absolutely,
we get a kick out of.
Absolutely.
And it would be pretty entertaining.
I've heard from some people even very recently, within the last 6 months, Tiger taken in the private setting of playing golf in a personal group is amazing to play golf with. And the stories he has, the way he talks, is completely different.
Yeah, and you could say the same about Brooks as well.
Absolutely.
Rory, in my opinion, is such an open interviewer that when he's being interviewed, he shares a lot of things, whereas I don't think a lot of other tour players do. But Rory is so great at interviewing. I don't know that anything would change. I think you get exactly what you expect from Rory, but I think some of those other guys would be fun to hear some stories. So, that being said, we're just talking about Tiger Woods. Recently, a video leaked on the internet featuring none other than Charlie Woods. Now, Charlie Woods is 10 years old. He's Tiger's son. And this year, for those that weren't familiar with him already, he was shown hugging his dad at the Masters. Pretty awesome.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool experience there.
Awesome moment for the world, for Tiger, for Charlie. Someone was taking a video at a junior golf tournament of Tiger Woods caddying. And while they were taking that video, they got video of Charlie Woods swinging in the background, and it blew the internet up.
So here's what I want to know, and I've actually searched the internet for this, and I can't find it. I want to know, in that pairing group, what everyone shot for that round of golf.
What was the Charlie effect?
What was the Charlie effect? It's got to be a thing, right? I mean, hey, here's Tiger Woods walking behind, or did he caddy for him?
Caddy for him.
You got Tiger caddying for Charlie. I'm sorry. I'm a 10-year-old kid. I know I'm a little more immune to, you know, stardom than I am. I play with Tiger Woods. I'm going to shoot 150. But there has to be that effect. I mean, was it Charlie shooting 36 and everyone else shooting 60? I want to know. I've got this need to know what happened in that round of golf. But with that said, super cool moment. Super cool. Kid's got a good golf swing too, by the way. Super cool for the game of golf.
So I want to derail. What does this look like in the future? Knowing what other star athletes' children have been through.
Yeah.
What does this look like in the future? And I will say, a couple weeks ago in Minneapolis, Minnesota Timberwolves set up an event at Target Center featuring Sierra Canyon High School. Sierra Canyon features Bronny James, Zaire Wade, so sons of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And I went to the game. They played. They sold 17,000 tickets at Target Center for this game against Minnehaha Academy. Minnehaha started off a little rough and then absolutely rolled these guys in the second half. It was very impressive to see.
The tweets after that game were amazing.
There was a lot of good stuff on Twitter about that. That being said, Bronny is a freshman who plays, let's call it 10 minutes or so a game. He scored 5 points, and everybody was there to see him, and there were plenty of people that said, you know, he didn't play that much, he didn't score that much. First of all, this is a nationally ranked traveling school, essentially, that right. He's playing for, and the expectations of LeBron's son are so high. The fact that he's not scoring 30 points a night as a freshman, people are thinking, oh, it's not going to be what we thought he was going to be. He's a freshman in high school. Michael Jordan got cut from his sophomore team. It's amazing. So what does that look like for Charlie Woods? Coming back to Charlie Woods now that we've derailed and see what it's like for other children, what does it look like for Charlie Woods? Will he be able to practice on his own, do his own thing, stay out of the limelight? Or will he be just like Tiger was by the time he's 16, so much pressure, everybody on him, and even more pressure now because it's not just, you know, Eldrick Woods coming from California. This is Tiger's son. What do you think?
You know, here's the interesting part about that, and I'm going to go off in a little different area on this for a second, is expectations change the way people play sports. And I've always got a kick out of students that I haven't played golf in 6 months. And I went out for my first time. I went to Arizona. I took a golf trip. And I parred my first 4 holes. And I played amazing. Why? You didn't have expectations. Your expectations were, I'm just going to go have fun. I'm going to go play golf. And it is what it is. When you don't have expectations, I think it's easier to relax. It's easier to play. When you have expectations of, you are Tiger Woods' son, this is what you're supposed to do, I think that's harder. Now, here comes the brilliancy of star athletes. Tiger, obviously, we know his mental game is far and beyond anyone else that's ever played the game of golf. Does his son have that? We don't know. But we're going to find out, because he's going to have to grow up in the world of, I'm Tiger Woods' son. I'm already on film with, I've got a good golf swing. I don't know what he shot that day.
I believe it was 40. I think it's at 40.
40?
A couple over. Yeah, okay. It's a 10-year-old.
A 10-year-old?
I believe.
Great.
And I could be wrong on that, but I thought that's what I read.
Fantastic. I probably didn't shoot 40 until it was 12, 13, 14. I don't know, maybe 20. Phenomenal for him. But that's going to be a testament to his will and his ability to cope with who he is. And you haven't dealt with it. I haven't dealt with it. And I don't know how to deal with it. I've never been Tiger Woods' son. I've never been in that spotlight. So that's going to be an interesting thing. But I do think expectations make it harder for kids to actually perform to their actual ability.
So my hot take and my takeaway from that is, folks, if you're going to go play golf, Just try to have fun.
Have fun. Go play golf.
Check the expectations at the door.
Yep.
And go enjoy the game, because this is made for enjoyment. And if it starts going well, don't think about that it's going well. I've caddied quite a bit in my life. I was caddying one year in the Minnesota State Open for Derek Holmes, a local professional. Derek, the first couple days at Edinburgh, I think he went 40, 32, 39, 33, something to that effect. The third day, we got on the first tee, and I go, you're 7 over par. And he goes, what? And I go, you're 7 over par. Let's keep it under 80 today. Final result, 67. Finished 7th place in the tournament.
Right,
we kicked ourselves.
The pressure was off.
We kicked ourselves for saying, why didn't we do that the first day? So another thing I challenge you to do, if you're struggling with breaking par, you're struggling with breaking 80, whatever it is, tell yourself it's already gone. Tell yourself, hey, you're already 20 over. Because how many times are you having a bad round and you just stop worrying so much and then you go one under on the last 6? It happens all the time.
All the time.
So enjoy the game. Set realistic goals for yourself, but don't be so hard on the expectations, because it's not enjoyable. I hope the same for Charlie. I cannot wait to see where this goes. Tiger's what now, 42, 43?
It's something like that. He might be even older than that, 44?
Somewhere in there. So, you know, Tiger will be eligible to play on the Champions Tour in 6 years. I don't think that's something that we're going to be seeing from him. I think, like Phil, he'll still be hitting bombs. But that being said, you know, Charlie's maybe, you know, 7-8 years away from playing college golf, if that's a potential for him. And it'd be really fun to see, you know, some of these father-son events, some of these different things, to see them do that together.
Here's what I firmly hope for Charlie. And I mean, Tiger's been very public about this. He hates the fame. He hates being in the public eye. And I'm going to give Tiger some credit, because I think this is what he's preaching to his son. Golf's a game. Have fun. If you want to play it, play it. If you want to have fun playing it, have fun playing it. If you want to play it at a high level, then great. Let's do it. But I think if he gives Charlie the choice to just play golf at whatever capacity he wants to play golf, awesome. It's growing the game. It's, let's get people to play. It doesn't have to be, I'm Tiger's son, I have to play at this level, I have to do this. And I have hope that Tiger is going to push his son in that direction. That, have fun. Just do what you want to do.
Get lost taking a walk in the park, right?
Exactly.
So CBS has recently announced that a couple years ago they decided to part ways with David Faraday, who was an announcer for many, many years and one of the most loved announcers in the game. They announced they're going to make some more changes to the broadcast crew. So they have decided to part ways with, I believe it was Peter Costas and Gary McCord?
Correct.
Is that correct? And they decided that they were going to make some other changes, Frank Nabilo, Trevor Immelman, etc., changing up their team a bit. Dottie Pepper is now their lead on-course reporter. Mm-hmm. So CBS is going a total different direction. Again, a lot of the golf that you watch on the weekends is on CBS, specifically the Masters. And the last announcement they made, or I shouldn't say last, but one of the announcements they made is that Michelle Wee will now be announcing at the Masters, which is fascinating. And I don't know if that's a, you know, transitioning out Vern Lundquist. I don't know what that looks like, how they're going to plug her in. But,
and correct me if I'm wrong, but like her only broadcasting was Solheim Cup,
correct?
Right?
Correct. But they believe in that. And what's interesting is Michelle Wee, we could talk about Michelle Wee for hours, is a fascinating story. But most recently, she got married this fall.
Yep.
She married Johnny West, who is Jerry West's son. So she's the part of the heir to the logo, the NBA logo.
Good
pretty cool.
Her.
And Johnny's a up-and-coming coach with the Warriors, I believe.
Yep.
And then most recently, after the announcement that she would be announcing or reporting at the Masters, she now announced that she's pregnant. So it will be interesting to see how she navigates all that this year. And very, very excited to see what's next for Michelle. She did make comment that she plans to return to golf after having her first child. So, you know, Michelle, we came out of the scene, what, 14 years old at the Sony Open?
She's also been plagued with injury, if I remember correctly, for the last few years, like a wrist.
She's had multiple injuries, yeah.
You know, Michelle Wee is an interesting case study, and with no disrespect to her and her team, this has always been my take on her. She jumped in. I mean, she was the hot topic, whatever that was.
14 years, 15 years old.
15 years old. and she played in what tour event was that?
I think it was the Sony Open.
It was the Sony Open. She played in, you know, men's tees, men's event. She kind of pushed herself to the limit. But my take on this is this. She didn't play in the event she should have played in and learned to win. I think she could have had a career if she would have learned to win early at that young age. And I think the sky would have been the limit for her. I mean, you talk about the records on LPGA Tour. I think she could have shattered them. But I think it went about the wrong way. Now, super pumped for her. Like, I mean, married, child. I mean, you know, there's nothing better than that. So good for her. To be honest, I'm just as excited for her to do it as I am for Nabilo and Immelman. I mean, I love listening to those guys.
It'll be good. It's interesting to part ways with Faraday and McCord and Costas, as those guys have been in our living rooms for so many years. So we'll see how it goes.
I'm ready, though. I'm ready for the change of that. As much as I love Faraday and McCord's more for the game of golf than we can talk about, I'm ready for the change.
Yeah, it's the Michelle Wee story is fascinating. She has still said to this day that one of her greatest accomplishments, if not her greatest accomplishment, is her degree from Stanford. And there were plenty of people that said, hey, you know, you shouldn't go to Stanford. You shouldn't go to college. You should just go play professionally. I was one of those fans. I thought, you know what, just move on. Just go and dominate the LPGA Tour and worry about the schooling later on. She really was proud of that, and that's something that was important to her. And I give her a lot of kudos for doing what was best for her. She's fascinating. She's amazing to watch hit the golf ball. She hits it. I mean, it hits it as good as anyone I've ever seen. I just hope that she's able to keep playing, because I think that she really does a lot for the women's game, and would love to see her out there. I feel like the women's game lost a lot when, you know, when Annika kind of stepped down, and then when Lorena stepped down. Yeah. It'd just be fun to see her go out. She's such a ray of sunshine out there. She's great with the fans. She's great with kids. It's just, she does a lot for golf. And if the future of her career is being a reporter rather than a player, I'm good with that too. I just want to see her involved with the game, because she's really been a fascinating story. We've gotten to follow her now for almost 20 years. It's been pretty cool.
Her Nike contract's done quite well for her too.
Yeah, no, I think she's done fine with that. And she's, you know, like I said, she's done a lot of good things for the game. She's had some nice wins. Just one of those talents, though, that you love to see. Again, we just need more. We need more golfers. We need more female golfers. And Absolutely. She's really been a fun one to follow along her career. So that's been really fun to see where she will go next. And that's that. So most recently, we actually had a death in the golf world that really shook a lot of people. I believe Pete Dye was he 98?
He was old. Let's put it that way.
And, you know, Pete Dye, really, if you think about it, I think the best way to sum it up, this guy was responsible for probably the most diabolical golf courses in the world. Is that how you would say it, Dave?
This guy was like, let's make the hardest golf course in the world. Let's punish golfers, is the way I look at Pete Dye. And then, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but his golf courses are hard. I mean, if you look at the top 50 toughest courses, and I have not surfed through all of them, but just in like the top 15, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 6 that are his.
Wow. That's incredible. It really is. He's, I said it was sad to lose him, but he did a lot of really good things for the game
Absolutely
of golf.
Absolutely, he did.
And
I think his sons are following in his footsteps.
Who's your favorite golf course architect? Like, what course would you play, or what course designer would you say, I will play all their courses all day, every day? Who's your number one?
Fountain Lehman, every single day.
And
I'll go play Troy Byrne. I'll go play the remake of Wayzata Country Club. I will go play.
They did some work on Edina, correct?
Yeah, I think they did. I can't keep track of all the work that's been done on Edina, but I believe they did the last one there.
Tom did work at TPC Twin Cities. Summerbee
is one of my favorite golf courses. Troy Byrne's probably still my favorite. If I had to go stretch the metro into Hudson, I will play Troy Byrne every day. I love that golf course.
Nice. No, it's a good, really good track.
What about you? Where do you want to pick
one designer that I really love, and I've only played one of their courses, it's Tiger Woods, and it's Blue Jack.
Okay.
And I know I'm pretty ruby with that take, but I am a Tiger Woods Rube, and I do love what he's done for the game of golf. When he opened Blue Jack, he had, I think you might have seen it, there was a kid that hit like the opening shot or one of the first shots, and the kid made a hole-in-one. At Blue Jack, Tiger has this whole par three course where you can just play all night long.
Which is awesome.
Lights, and it's really about promoting the game and getting people to play the game. But when you walk into Blue Jack, you feel like you're at Augusta, and that's what's really cool. You can work it both ways off the tee, and you get to the greens, and that's when it gets really tricky. And so I just loved his vision and getting to talk with him about why he did the things he did. So Blue Jack is in Houston. It's his first course in America. I believe his second is opening shortly in Missouri. Is that correct? Is it Missouri?
I believe you're correct.
In that area. And he's done very well with his courses in Cabo as well, Diamante.
Diamante is amazing, and that is first class from everything and every account I have heard of. That is a place you need to go.
I grew up with golf being a fun game that I played with my dad. And then all of a sudden, Tiger Woods came on the scene in 96, 97 and changed my entire life and has changed the tour, has changed everything about golf. And
so not Pete Dye when you go play the best round of golf of your life and you shoot 80, 85.
No, I mean, Blue Jack's playable. He tries to make things that are playable. And I like that. And that's one thing I love about what Layman does as well. It's very playable. You can work it both ways, fun greens.
Fazio's kind of like that too. Fazio's tough, but he's fair.
No, I totally agree. So we really want to thank everyone for listening for our first show. Again, you can find this via podcast anywhere you download your podcast on the Score North app or anywhere you're downloading podcasts. Search either 10K Swings or 10,000 Swings. And also, we do have an opportunity for you to connect with us if you'd like. 10kswings@scorenorth.com. So it's 10kswings@scorenorth.com. If you have any ideas, comments, et cetera, about the show, we'd love to connect with you. And if there's things that we're not talking about, we'll be on every week to talk about those things if we have time. So thank you for tuning in. I'm Brad Cole.
I'm David Branson, and thank you for listening.
Have a great week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.